I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout his praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Whoa. Could not see chains of sin had shackled me, but God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. And I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout his praises now. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me. I will sing of your love. Come and whoa, 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 whoa. Your grace so sweet, come on. Now grace so sweet, it floods my soul, and hope eternal won't let go. My daddy raced at Calvary, 'cause Jesus, Jesus rescued. Jesus, hey. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. And I will sing forever of your love. Come now with my hands to heaven, shout his praises. Hey, lost in darkness when you pull me up. I will sing forever of your love. Come on, oh, 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 oh. Now there's a home beyond the sky. Now there's a home beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. Is empty. I am free, 'cause Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me. How many serving a faithful God this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, if he's been faithful, I want you to take a minute and praise him for that. What a powerful thing happens when we praise God for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for the things he's done. Oh, we worship you forever. You're faithful, God. for tomorrow. Blessings on my earth with 10,000 beside. Hey, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We can do better than that. Let's give the Lord a real good shout of praise. Thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. Praise God. Would you turn around and just do this for me? Say, hi, my name is, to about three people, and tell them your name. Hi, my name is Slim Shady or something. Just go ahead and tell somebody your name. You're awesome. Can you swim? So if you go down, just push me up. Well, good morning. What an absolutely beautiful day to be in God's house. Spring is going to be happening this week. No matter what, it's going to happen. Well, I hope that you're doing really well. If you're visiting today, we're so glad that you're with us. This is something that we love to do. It's Water Baptism Sunday. So we're going to just rejoice and celebrate with a few folks here for a few minutes. Then we're going to go back into worship. But what we're doing today, if you're unfamiliar with, is I'm standing in a water baptismal tank. You can't see the water, but we're in this tank, and this is an act of worship, an act of obedience to the Word of God. These people that are coming into the tank are people who have understood that they needed a Savior, born sinners, separated from God. But at some moment in their life, they gave their lives to Christ, and the Bible says this is our public way to show everybody that we're not ashamed. We're part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God, the great army that God is building. Who's here today that's been water baptized? You're grateful for that. Isn't that wonderful? So this is a day to celebrate. This is a wonderful opportunity, and we're so grateful. And I'm proud that we're starting with Jenna. Jenna is just a wonderful, wonderful young lady. We love her mom and dad. Her dad's a board member. Her mother runs the church. Her grandmother runs the church. That would be Barbara Keppel, and well, I'm so proud of Jenna. Jenna, you're just a phenomenal, phenomenal individual. You can. You want to try?
I'll try. So, I grew up in church, and I went. I kind of just dragged my feet, though. I guess I didn't really like get connected or have a relationship or anything like that. But one Sunday, I think it was Tiff Shuttlesworth was preaching, and he was like, you know, someone in this building is gonna, their heart's gonna grow cold if they don't come down, because you've thought about it and you've thought about it, but if you don't like come down, like your heart's gonna grow cold and you're never gonna make that commitment. And I really thought like he was talking about me, because I've never actually really like had like a relationship. Like I've gone to church, but I never really got connected or anything like that. So I guess I was like, oh my word, he's talking to me. So I was like, I know I need to. So I was like crying and everything like that. And I was like, yeah, so that was it, I guess.
Awesome. Isn't that good? That's so good. That is so good. And you know, that can happen. You can get hard in God's house. But that didn't happen to Jenna. The Holy Spirit is here, and he makes that impossible for us to... Hey, do you want to take your glasses off? Okay, all right, go ahead. I mean, you don't have to, but you can. All right. Jenna, because you've given your life to Christ, because you're not ashamed to be known as a daughter of the King of Kings, and you want everybody to know that you're going to serve him for the rest of your life, I now baptize you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want you to meet Artis. Is it Goodine? I don't know if I always say it that way, but Artis, where's your husband? Have your husband stand, that handsome guy in the fourth row.
The
only handsome guy in the fourth row. Artis, share your testimony, if you would.
I was raised in church as a young child. We went every Sunday. We went Easter Sundays with our little baskets and our gloves on. And we went to church, to Sunday school, when we went to the lake. And then I just drifted away. I moved to Florida with my family, and I attended church there. But I think it was a social type event to go to. But I was very, very young. I believe that I was water baptized in the Baptist church in Howland. But the more I came here and the more I listened to being able to remember an exact date really was foggy in my mind. And I knew that I loved the Lord and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But if it came right down to it and I was sitting there and God or Jesus said to me, what was the date? I mean, to me, it just seemed important.
Sure.
And I don't want to get, you know, I'm going to start getting emotional about this. But anyway, long story short, my daughter, Danielle, and her friend Angel contacted each other on Facebook, on the internet, and Angel started bringing Danielle to this church. And I started feeling a little guilty about Angel making the trip, though she never complained, so I started bringing Danielle and just leaving her and coming back and getting her and in the parking lot. And Danielle invited myself and my husband and our good friends Tim and Tammy to the Christmas event, and something just happened. I felt the Holy Spirit here in this church, and it just came back, and it just changed us all. And we've come ever since that time. It was, I don't know, 3 years ago. So this is our church, and this is where we feel the Holy Spirit move us. It's changed our lives. I think it's made us better people. We're kinder. We're learning patience and gentle, and we've learned the love of Jesus Christ through this church.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. You didn't even use your paper. Well, it's going to get wet, so you won't be able to use it. If you're going to use it, you better do it. Okay, all right. All right. You know, it's an interesting testimony. Gene owns a business. They both own this business where they cremate animals, pets. And, you know, it's not easy. Some people are very connected to their pets. And so Gene and Artis have an awfully strong opportunity that when people come and they need to take care of the last decisions for their pet, they have an opportunity to share the Christ with them and minister to them and help them. And, you know, when you're looking for an opportunity to bless somebody, you can always find one when you're looking for it. But isn't that awesome that God can use any situation if you put him in it and something good can come out of it? Isn't that fantastic? That's wonderful. Do you cremate cats?
Yes.
Oh. That's all I'm going to say about that. Said too much already. I can feel it already. But we know dogs go to heaven.
All animals go to heaven.
All animals, especially dogs.
All animals.
Especially dogs. All right. Enough of that. All right. Artist, because of your confession of faith, and you recognize the power of a moment, that you want to know that this is that moment that you can always go back to and draw strength and faith from. I want everybody to know that your sins have been washed away. The old is buried. The new has come alive. I now baptize you. Praise God. Well, I love this couple. I love all these folks. But I know you do too. This is Joel and April Young. Yeah, let me stand over here. Everybody wave to Joel and April. Let them know you're so proud of them and thankful for them. Do we have a spokesman in this couple?
Her.
Okay. He spoke up to say she's the spokesman right here.
I was going to say him.
You were. Well.
We'll do it together.
All right. Who wants to go first? Do you want to go first, April? I don't dare to. Go ahead, Joel.
Go ahead. What do you want me to tell?
What the Lord's done for you, what this means.
Well, I've been saved in seventh grade by my friend, and then I left as a young adult to North Carolina to serve this country. And by doing that, I also enjoyed the sinfulness of the adult life, the drinking, the smoking and joking. But then I came home, didn't have a peace of mind. So life was a wreck. And I thought I had calmed it down, but then she came, tore it all up again. So she invited me to come like a couple years ago. And then it took you, took your wife Darcy, and Paul, wherever he's at. Oh yes. And Barbara is the most amazing lady in this whole church. In my opinion. Like she tops it all. Because to give you a little background, Mrs. Ward, Darcy was preaching, got me thinking. So one day after work, I was like, I need to talk to somebody. So talked to Barbara. She didn't let it go any further than that. And then she introduced me to Mr. Dunphy, Dalton. And then it just went kind of where we are today.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, my life hasn't always been easy. I have been baptized before, but life just kind of brought me down to a place where I didn't want to be before, and I never want to be there again. And now I'm to a much better place. I'm a much happier person, and if it wasn't for this church, I don't think that I would have survived where I was. I think for different places that I had been, like I had tried going through marriage counseling before with a different situation, and that didn't work. So that situation ended in divorce, and that is okay. I'm okay with that. Because even in the Bible, it says that divorce isn't right, but for some people, that's where it has to end. That's where it has to be. And I know that that wasn't my fault. And being in this relationship with Joel is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and for my kids, and for just life in general. I think that it's okay for people to go through situations. God puts you in these situations so that you can be back to where you need to be. And for me, this is my testimony. This is where I am now. And I thank God for that, because I am a stronger person, and it is okay. In 2010, I had a house fire, and it was a very stressful situation for me. I did start having seizures in 2011. Ted Shuttlesworth actually came here, I believe it was in 2011 or 2012 that he came here, and I haven't had a seizure since. And that's been amazing for me, and hopefully I never do, and if I do, hopefully Ted comes back.
All right, Joel, let me start with you. If you would. April, if you want to stand over there. All right. I just want to tell you I'm real proud of you, bud.
Thank you.
You're the real deal. Real deal. Perfect. I know you do. I know you do. Joel, because you've allowed Christ to give you a brand new heart, put you on a path of his plan, the old life doesn't even exist in his mind anymore. It's gone. And he's given you a brand new life, a brand new home, brand new family, church family. You want everybody to know that you're serving God now. And I baptize you. And April, because you too have allowed Christ to wash you clean, give you a brand new hope, let him redeem everything that you've been through. And you want everybody to know that you're living out the testimony that God's given to you. I now baptize you. Let Joel know you appreciate his service to our country as well, if you would, please. Hey, Stephanie. How are you? You good? The water's warm today. I want you to meet Amanda and Stephanie. Do you folks live in Milo? You do. Everybody I know from Milo is good people. There must be a reason. Come on over here, Amanda. I don't know if you folks have met Amanda and Stephanie, but these are precious, precious people that we love so very much. And do you have something you want to share, Amanda, what Christ has done for you and for Stephanie as well?
Yeah, if you hold the microphone.
I can hold the mic.
Well, Christ has done a lot. We've been through everything. I've had a interesting childhood. I started going to church at 11 with a good set of special people who were foster parents of mine, and we were introduced to Pastor Libby, my brother and I. Wow. Yes, we were from the county. Then stopped going to church, and very difficult childhood, but interesting adulthood. Enjoyed parenthood and coming to know Christ. And very interesting.
Well, we're so grateful to have you a part of our church family.
And I've enjoyed the Bible classes.
You've enjoyed the Bible classes as well. That's fantastic. Have they been coming to Milo to do the classes for you?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Well, we're so grateful and so proud of both of you. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for your whole family. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Who wants to go first? You want Mom to go first? Okay, Stephanie, if you want to stand right over there. If you want to take your glasses off, Amanda. Or I can wash them. Okay. Amanda, because you've allowed Christ to come into your life and not only start, but you want him to finish what he started in your life and in your precious daughter. You want everybody to know that you're serving him and giving him your life. I now baptize you. How many think Stephanie is a precious girl? She can do this, and the Lord will help her to do this. Mom, thank you beside you. Okay. Stephanie, Jesus loves you so very much. You're very special to him. He gave you red hair. So he must love you a lot. Yeah, I know he does. And you're special to this church, too. And we love you very much. And God's got great things in store for your life. Do you believe that? Yeah, I know you do. Because of your faith in Christ, I now baptize you. Jesus. That is sweet. That's fantastic. Stephanie is a little bit nervous about doing that, but she's so courageous. All right, Philip. Come on down here, young man. He got the church shirt that's white with white lettering on it. I got the black shirt with the white lettering on it. I want you to meet my buddy Philip. Can you hear me? Okay.
It's hard for me to hear you.
Oh, I know that. Do you want to do the talking? Do you want me to? I think it was last year. Was it last year, Dalton, that Lois and Phyllis passed away? Was it last year, honey?
Yes.
It was last year. Oh, you can hear me. Oh, yeah, you're messing with me now. December 16th. December 16th. Oh, it's coming on now. Okay. It's the talker that doesn't work.
And Phyllis went almost a month later. A couple of weeks later, Phyllis left.
So his wife and daughter, within 2 weeks, both passed away. And Philip's always been a wonderful individual, been a good guy. But was it this year, Dalton? I'm trying to remember dates. What's that date that you wrote that note? Dalton was passing you notes. You didn't have the ears on then. The notes, they were writing notes.
They used to.
Yes.
Yes. Remember that day they wrote the notes that you asked Jesus to come into your heart?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was very different. Very different feeling. But I don't regret it.
That's awesome. You can see that Philip's got these machines on or something that helps him hear. Before, he couldn't hear anything. So when one day Dalton sat down with Philip and they would just communicate by passing notes. And Philip that day said, "Today's the day I want to give my life to Christ." And so Dalton wrote out the sinner's prayer. And Philip picked it up and read it with tears running down his face, accepting Jesus Christ to come into his life. And isn't that wonderful? And now, the greatest part of his life is not his hearing, which is wonderful, but he knows that he'll get to see his wife and daughter once again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What's the first thing you're going to say to Lois when you see her in heaven?
So glad to see you. I'll never get over that loss. I can't. Lose my little girl, too. It hurts so much. God must have been with me. That's the only way I could have gone through it. It's hard. It's still hard.
Sure.
But I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
I don't think of myself that much. I let myself go, and I ended up in the hospital. But now, I'm trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
They keep me out of that place. It's a nice place to be when you need it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, kind of like jail.
They take
this. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I need.
That's what you, not jail, but you just need, I'm so proud of you. Phyllis bought a place in Bangor, and before he takes his ears off, I think you ought to let him hear you, let him know that you're so proud of him. Thank God for this work of faith. Just so you can feel the same way. Philip, because of Jesus Christ and his love for you, his care, he gave you a new heart. God giving you a new heart. And you're going to see Phyllis and Lois in heaven, one day, all because of Jesus. I baptize you. He said I messed his hair up. That's terrible. All right, one more. Let's stand together. You've been sitting for a while. Kevin, come on down, buddy. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus, huh? Thank God for the cross. Thank God for his great work in our lives. Before we go back into worship, I want Kevin to come. Christ has done a great work in your life, buddy. He's one of our balcony Christians. He sits up in the balcony with the...
I hide.
You hide up there. We know in the rapture, the balcony people will be in heaven first. So, if they're not sleeping. Kevin, just tell the folks what Jesus means to you.
Well, it means a lot. I don't know exactly how to say this. I've always believed in the Lord. I've never gone to church. I've had a neighbor that lived next door to me. Him and his wife always would say prayers and offer me to go to church. And I'd tell them, no, I'm not ready. And I never did. And I didn't live the greatest of life. I've gotten in trouble. I've drank, done drugs. I've done things I'm not proud of. I've lost family members to cancer, heroin, heart attack. But I had to stay strong for my mother.
Is she here?
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. Anyways, so we moved up here about 5 years ago, and I have some property in Carmel, and I'm 2 miles in the back, and this guy would drive down with his dog all the time, and I'd always yell at him, "What are you doing on my property? You don't belong here. Get out of here." And he'd let me yell and scream at him, and I'd be all red and enraged. And then he'd say, "Kevin, it's Ron, and I live out front." Oh, okay. A week would go by, I'd do the same thing. Well, we started hanging out a little bit, and one day in his front yard, he says, "Kev, are you ready to accept the Lord?" And I said, "Ronnie, I believe I am." And wow. He said a prayer. In his yard, I believe, don't quote me, it was April 22nd. And then another time we were down the river, he was trying to teach me how to fly fish. And he did it again, I think because I wasn't doing good. So, and anyhow, so, all right. I went back to my property and again, the same thing went on. I was the usual Kevin yelling at everybody that came down the road. And he kept asking me if I'd go to church. And I said, I'm not ready. Well, one day I decided to shock him, and I came to the Charleston Church with me and my mom, and here I am. I was up in that balcony. I'll tell you, this is hard. I was up in that balcony, and they had a calling. And I sat up there fidgeting in my chair, I raised my hand, and I wasn't trying to raise my hand, it just went up. And then I find myself walking down the stairs and coming up here, a big ball of tears. I couldn't talk, I couldn't speak, and they said a prayer for me. So I want to thank everybody, Ron, everybody else, Dalton, his wife, and the pastor, for thanking me into your church, and I've been here ever since. Man, well, I've never been baptized in my life, so this is the first time ever. I'm the youngest of seven boys and two girls, and out of everyone, me and my other brother up from me were the only two that didn't get baptized. We just ran out of family members and time for people who wanted to do it. So here I am. Okay, that's it.
That's awesome.
All right, Kevin.
I did it.
Proud of you, too. Proud of you.
Thank God for Jesus, huh? Kevin, because you've allowed Christ to give you a brand new life. And the rest of your life would be better than all the years without Christ. And whatever needs to be redeemed, he has the ability. You've given him the option, the opportunity. He's going to take advantage of it. Because you want everybody to know that you're now a child of God, I now baptize you. Let's give the Lord praise. Would you just give him the credit, give him the honor? Let's worship.
Oh, come on. Are you happy today that God helps us win, that God takes us from what we were into what we're going to be? And if that's you, I want you to praise him with all your might today, because we serve a God who's already won. Hey! The victory. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Well, this is how I fight my battles.
Oh, yes.
This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm oh, but we're surrounded by him. Shout! This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. Oh, it's how we fight. It is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, come on, let's testify this morning. Say, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Hey, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our battles.
This is how we fight our
battles. Come on, declare.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Oh, you surround me, Jesus.
This is how we fight our battles.
Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says he takes off, gives you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Your praise is bigger than your pain today. Come on, let's praise him for a minute. Oh, it's how we fight our battles. We lift the name of Jesus. Oh, this is how we fight our battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by, I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight. Come on, shout it. Sing, this is how we fight. This is how we win our battle. Oh, yeah. This is how we fight our battle. This is how we fight. Oh, it may look, come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. Oh, we know a victory today. Hands up and sing it. Sing. This is how we fight our battles. Oh, this is how we fight our battles.
this is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that no matter what comes against us, none of it is bigger than you that's working for us today. Hallelujah. And every setback and every attack and every problem and every unexpected storm, God, we thank you right now that it, though it came to hurt us, believe God today you're going to make it help us. In Jesus' name. Somebody say this with me, it hurt. Somebody say it with me, it hurt. I can't deny it, but it's going to help me. How many of you have ever been through some pain in your life? Just lift your hand. I've been through some pain. I've been through some setbacks. I've been through some trouble. We had a different schedule for the rest of the service, but that schedule is being changed as I talk. Because it doesn't matter how dark it looks, the darkness does not mean that God is not there. Is anybody glad that God specializes in getting into situations that seem impossible? How is it that people even dare to say they serve God and act like He doesn't do anything? How is it that people even dare to be in His presence and act like they don't even know it? I'll tell you why. Because they've been trying to figure out the problem, and it's made them to lose hope. But I'll tell you today, the God of great hope is in this meeting today, and we thank God for that. Amen. Aren't you glad He's here? Look, we got all kinds of announcements and videos and things that need to be done, but I'm just going to preach, and then if we got time, I'll do them, and if I don't, we'll do them tonight. Open your Bibles, if you would. You can be seated. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms. Stay with me, musicians. Singers, you can go. Because, you know, I'm such a great singer. No, you can go. I just wanted to see if you'd stay. Go. I'm done with you. For now. But come back when I need you. Let the musicians know you love them, if you would, please, after I've... Y'all okay with God having His way in the service? You know, some people think they run the service. I don't want to go to your church. I want to go to a church where God runs the church. I want to go into some scripture in a minute, but before I do that, some very special friends are with us today, and when you leave, I'd hope that you'll stop by and see them. But Garrett Mason is here with his fiancée, Rebecca, and I want you folks to stand, if you would, please. Turn and let the folks see who you are, and let's welcome Garrett and Rebecca with us today. Garrett is running for the governor. I'm going to open my book, but you can't see me opening it. He's the Senate Majority Leader. I wrote it down because you know how my memory is already, Garrett. But it's Senate Majority Leader, the Republican, and is from Lisbon and is running for governor. And this has been his means of campaigning. He's just been going from church to church. And in doing so, needed to collect so many signatures for Clean Election and collected more signatures faster than any other candidate in the state of Maine ever has done it before amongst God's people. And so I wish that you'd stop by. You can still sign up. You can still participate financially for $5. And if you're aware of how that works, then you do it. And if you don't, ask. And they'll help you with that. But maybe we can get you back another time, let you greet the folks if that would be workable for your schedule. Psalms 119, are you there yet? Psalm 119, I know some of you are just worried to death about the offering. I can see it all over your faces, but I shall not forget. I shall not forget. Psalm 119, if you'd turn to verse 1, I'd appreciate it. And let's just see what the Lord has, and maybe we'll get all this stuff done afterwards. Oh, by the way, you can get your notes, go back one, that cchurch11a.info. If you go there on your website, all the notes are there. Sign up for the women's breakfast, sign up for giving, sign up for everything. It's all right there. It's just for you. Psalm 119, verse 61. I want to talk to you about something, and you'll understand why I want to get to it, because these were powerful testimonies, were they not, this morning in that baptismal tank? I'm telling you, God is real, and Jesus does great work. Psalm 119 addresses something that I find is common ground for everybody. If you talk about this with the most wealthy person in the world, or you talk about this with the most desperate person in the world, you're going to find there's common ground. It's a little thing called pain. How many of you would say that you have a high tolerance for pain? You can take a lot of pain. All right, note that. Whoever you just raised their hand beside you, note that. How many of you don't take much pain before you just kind of give up? You just faint, pass out. Four of you. Okay. Lord, deliver this church from a lying demon. I find that pain is level ground. But secondly, there's an advantage to preaching on pain, but there's a disadvantage in that it is easy to become more pain conscious than God conscious. I find that people tend to go one way or the other. It's like all they can see is trouble, pain, gloom and doom, heartache, despair, agony. Their life's a living, walking country song. It's just one bad. Today's not as bad as tomorrow, but it probably could be. And we have to understand that if we're going to follow Christ, we've got to understand what He called us to do. And He didn't call us to be pain conscious. He called us to be spirit conscious. We're not to only understand that there's a problem, but we're to be looking for the solution in the midst of the problem. And I think David does the best job I've ever seen anywhere else in Scripture in balancing that in Psalm 119, verse 61, because this is the position I see David in. I see David with one foot in trouble, but he doesn't plant both feet there. He puts his next foot in faith. He has one foot in pain and one foot in healing. He has one foot in humanity, and he's striving to take one step into divinity, to get closer to God. And you look at Psalm 119, verse 61, he writes, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me." So he's got one foot in the place that something has been taken from him. I think perhaps this young generation, the teenagers and below, are a generation that stand to be robbed more than any other. We have a generation of young people that have to deal with adult problems. The problem is, as they become adults, they're acting like children. And we now have a generation of adults that are taking advantage of the children. And I'm afraid that when they become adults, the children are going to revert to an area that they were meant to have, and that's a childhood. They've been robbed. And I don't know what you've lost. It doesn't actually even matter. Loss is loss. Being robbed is robbed. But look what David says. "Even though I have been robbed, I've not forgotten your law." The law that he's referring to is not the Ten Commandments or the law that Moses was given. The law he's speaking to are the instructions of God. Are you following me? In other words, he's saying that God has a plan to deal with pain. I think a lot of people have plans, but they don't have a plan to deal with pain. You got a weight loss plan. You got a marriage plan. You got a work plan, a vacation plan. But some people, when they get hurt or they get in pain, never recover because they never plan for it. Now, I'm not saying that you should schedule it. I'm just saying you should be prepared for it. Come on, give me a Presbyterian shout by shaking your head like this. Thank you. I've got one foot in the fact that somebody did something and I can't get it back, but I've got another foot in the situation that even though it happened to me, it's not something that took God off guard. And because I know God, even though it was a loss at the moment, I still have time for God to make it up for me, because I've realized that no matter how great the pain, God's grace is greater. Healed people heal situations. Well, it's amazing scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. How do you do that when you're not healed? You can't. to just speak your mind and respond off the cuff, it can cause more. Don't give evil to evil, but give blessing to evil. You can't do that without having a plan for pain. Look at verse 62. At midnight, I rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, don't think that this is like a scripture that God says, okay, you got to get up when you're sleeping and give God praise and put a worship 8-track in and worship. Remember what he said. He said, I've been robbed, but I've got a plan. Look what he says in verse 62. I can't sleep at night because of what I'm going through. How many have ever been tossing and turning? Turning and tossing. Tossing and turn all night? Have you ever been there? Look what he says. I can't even sleep because, you know, they're selling more sleep medication now than ever before. I'm going to suggest why. Because people have gone through so much pain, they don't know how to deal with it. But David says, I'm up at night, but I'm going to turn to you because I realize that you're the judge. Okay, ready? Say this with me, if you would, just because I know you need to. Say, nobody gets away with anything. Nobody. Well, do you know what they did? They're going to get away with it. No, they won't. I said, nobody gets away with anything. But what prolongs the healing and prolongs the miracle and prolongs what God wants to do is when we decide we'll be the judge. You need to abdicate yourself from being in the position to make sure that somebody reaps what they sow. Because it could be. Okay. So Cain kills Abel, which I would remind you that the first murder happened right after a worship service. So Cain kills Abel because Cain didn't like what happened in church. How does Eve pray? Eve attends her son's funeral and she's lost him. But now Cain is still her son and he's a wanderer, so now she's lost him. So if you're Eve, how do you pray? Oh, I know you want Cain to pay the price, but you're not Cain's mom. So whose side does God take? Both. You know, maybe I should have got the offering before the preaching. You don't want to hear it, and I don't want to tell it. But here's the truth. God worked on Abel's behalf because his blood cried out. But if you remember right, when Cain said, everybody will kill me, God said, no, they won't. I'll protect you. I know this is like grown folk preaching. Like if you want that other stuff, go to kids ministries right down the hall. There's signs, Epic Center, go right down the hall. In here, we do grown folk stuff. And this is grown folk talk. And the same grace you need does not mean that person who hurts you doesn't deserve it as well. I need grace. They need grace. I'm not the judge. He's the judge. If I get forgiveness, they get forgiveness. If I get another chance, they get another chance. Take your arrogant self to the altar. Stop watching gospel talk shows. And get back in the Bible and understand. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's the fact that God wants to heal you, redeem you, and he wants to restore them and pick them back up. I'm telling you, you can't have a plan for healing if you continue to say, I'm going to count you did two wrong to me, I'm going to do three wrong to you. Love doesn't keep score. Throw the scorecard away. It's too exhausting. Just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to love. If they like it, good. If they don't, good. But I want to tell you, it is so fascinating to me how people are easily offended. Go to church and get offended by people in church. We expect people in church to be perfect. They're not perfect. They're being perfected. Just like you, Bubba. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know he's preaching to you. I know he's preaching to you. If I'm going to deal with the pain, number one, Number one, I got to realize this. God's got a plan. Number two, I've got to forgive and I got to let God be judge. Come on, son. You're not Judge Judy. You're not Judge Wapner. You're judge of nothing. He's the God of all judgment. And if you give it to him, he'll work on your behalf. 64, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. It used to be before the internet, well, before social media. As a pastor, you'd watch one person who'd gone through a marriage situation come through that door, and another person, same service, go through that door, and in 3 weeks, they're sitting together. Now with Facebook, they have coffee by Tuesday. Sad, but true. The problem is this. When you get hurt, if you don't deal with the hurt, you'll find yourself taking counsel from somebody else who's not healed, but from somebody else who's hurt. Grown talk, folk. This is grown folk service today. And at some point, we have to, as a church, rise up and not be ashamed of what God has brought us through so that a man can stand up and say, look, I've been through bankruptcy, and I know what you're feeling. I can help you. We need a woman to stand up and say, you know what? I've been through domestic violence, but God has helped me, and I can help you get through your situation. What I'm saying is our culture needs some people who will rise up not with their complaint, but rise up with their testimony and rise up and say, God will help you through sexual abuse. God will help you through intimidation. God will help you through bullying. Come on, somebody. God will help you through poverty. God will help you with mental problems. The world is just mulling around themselves and what we need to do, because Friend Day is coming up this coming Sunday. Friend Day is coming up. These cards are out in the foyer. They're the most valuable thing that you can put in your wallet. If I can find one. Right there. Friend Day next week. How many got a friend? Bring them. You know why you need to bring your friends? Because our culture is starving to have examples of people who've been through some stuff and say, he was God before the divorce and he's still God after the divorce. He was God before the layoffs and he's still, come on somebody, God after the layoffs. He was God before I backslid and he's God before addiction. Come on, he's God after addiction. He's God all the way. When you want to get healed, you got to find somebody who maybe has been through what you've been through, but they've had overcoming victory through it. I'm giving you a plan for healing. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Okay, come musicians. I just want to keep you moving. And I'm going to end here, I think. This is powerful. The earth, O Lord, is full of mercy. Teeter-totter, trouble, healing. I'm in pain, I'm in healing, teeter-totter. He starts with, I've been robbed, I've been wronged, I've been mistreated. What's interesting is that David doesn't say, I got hypnotized and I forgot about it. Right? I didn't go to spectacular events. Oh, I don't want to smoke anymore. He admits, you know what, I got robbed. But look what he says. After I got healed. See, when you get robbed, all you can see is a bunch of thieves. You know, it's been a long 2 weeks for me. I forgot how good and fun it is to preach to you. Amen. You didn't even know I were gone 2 weeks, but I'm going to forgive you for that. I forgot how much fun it is to preach here. This is the funnest place on the planet to preach. He started with, I'm robbed and all I can see are thieves. Right? You let one person have a bad experience, somebody, and all lawyers are this way. All women are this way. All Republicans are this way. All Democrats are this way. Hello? All white people are this way. Come on. All black people are this way. All gay people are this way. Well, if you're mad at me, at least you're paying attention. And we make this assumption that everybody's one way when we've been hurt. But look what David says. After he got healed, he no longer saw everybody as thieves. But after he got healed, all he could see was mercy. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that... Because is the world full of mercy? Yes. I caught you. Because David said so. Why is it that I know the world is full of mercy? Because everywhere that God has asked for mercy, he gives it. Come on, let the light come on. When you see no chance for mercy, all you see is judgment. All you see is punishment. All you see is condemnation. If you don't believe that God will give you another chance, all you hear in the preaching is condemnation and beating me up, and I'm not worthy. But when David got healed, he began to see every bad situation has the potential for the mercy of God to turn something wicked into something righteous. I want to tell you something. I want to be with a bunch of people whose world is full of mercy. If you've come to that altar once, or if you've come to that altar 10 times, I don't care. The same mercy that met you the first time is the mercy that will meet you the next time. I don't care how many times you've fallen and you didn't know how to get back up. I got good news. God still brings mercy to your world. And some of you need to stop your critic being a critic and start preaching the mercy of God. Come on. My world is full of God's mercy, and I want it full of Matt's mercy. If you come into my world, I hope that you meet mercy, not judgment. Your world's full of criticism, and that's what everybody gets when they enter it. Grown folk talk today. But how many are here today say, I want my world to be full of God's mercy and my mercy? See, I don't know what you're going through today, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you wonder what God's got in mind. God's got mercy in mind for you. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. You can admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, lived a sinless life, was crucified, buried, rose on the third day, took the punishment for all sins, including mine and yours. Bible says if you admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven, and confess, publicly admit that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Verse 65, I'll quit. Thou hast dealt with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. How many know when you can be so comfortable, you lose your focus? Before I was afflicted, I was unfocused. But now that I'm healed, I kept your word. See, you're going to go somewhere to heal the pain. You're either going to go to God or Boone Farm Wine. You're either going to go to God or you're going to go meet Mary Jane. The devil's lettuce. Come on, somebody. Wacky tobacco, the herbage. Mexican dirty weed. Do you hear what I did? Am I connected with anybody today? Kodiak. I don't know what your problem is, but whatever it is, none of that's going to fix it. All that's going to do is mask it. But God will not only heal the hurt, but he'll take care of the wound. Is anybody a testimony of that today? There's nothing that God can't heal. Amen. 68. Thou art good. Hey, Garrett, come on up. Be a part of my message. I'll make you earn my $5.
Better be careful, it could be 10.
It could be 10, all right. I'll give you 20, I'll give you anything, all right. If Garrett hurts me, go ahead. Okay, now you got to understand, I'm a Northern Maine preacher. We all know those guys down south are a little bit tender.
You just wanted me to have mercy.
Oh, mercy, no, you're not here for mercy. I'd have called a Democrat for that. Because they're liberal with mercy. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm just having fun with you. So if you hurt me, okay? If you hurt me. Okay, hurt me. Just in the back. Just
what you want me to
I want you to hit me. You're a hockey guy. You know how to hurt people. Hit me. Good. That's better. Rebecca, will you come up here? Come on, give it to me. I'm not going to hit you back. You've been, that's awesome. Thank you. That felt good. Hopefully someday I can say I got hit by the governor. That'd be awesome. Look, I got a choice. I got a choice. I can fight back, which I won't. And what am I going to do? I'm going to increase the pain. Or I need to just act like this is a Bible. I can either run back to the problem and address fire with fire, evil with evil, cursing with cursing, or I can run to the Word and I can say, you know what? Even though the devil meant it for bad, look what? But God is still good. I promise you, friend. I promise you, if whatever comes against you harms you, if you make it an immediate practice to immediately, expeditiously, right away, run to the goodness of God and say, I don't like what happened. God didn't cause it. But all I know is this. God is good. God is faithful. God will heal me. God's never left me. God will walk with me. God will sustain me. God will pick me up. He will never let me down. God is good. Come on, somebody. God is good. Say it with me now. God is good. Now give him praise like he's good. Come on. Thank him now. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. And thank him. Praise him. Praise him for a minute. Praise
you
him.
Are good. Good.
Come on, sing it.
So you're so good. For you are.
Father, I believe in your presence today. You're doing some pretty miraculous thing in somebody's heart. Somebody's been afraid to start again. That fear leaves today in Jesus' name. Somebody's been afraid to take a step of faith or do something new or step out of their comfort zone or maybe to do something that they've done before but they got hurt. They don't want to do it again. I pray that those bondages and barriers of their lives will be to them what they really are, very small. We're not going to say that they don't exist. We're just going to say they're very small in comparison to your goodness. I feel like saying to somebody, you had a real hope to do something and it became disappointing, but lately you've been kind of thinking about, the Lord wants me to just encourage you. Don't be afraid to try again. Maybe you wanted to do a ministry. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you wanted to work for somebody. Maybe you gave up on having a family. God says, go ahead and try again. Go ahead and try again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, it would be to your advantage that I take time to give you an opportunity to allow the greatest decision that you could ever make to be made today. You to decide that you'll let Jesus Christ forgive you of all the sins that are in your life, that you recognize that the moment you were born separated from God, and no amount of good works will ever bridge the gap. It's not that God doesn't love you, but your sin keeps him from you. But that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into the earth, to die on the cross publicly, raised from the grave to be seen publicly. He did that. The anger and the justice of sin was taken out upon him. He was brutally beaten to show you how much he loves you, to show the gravity of our sin, but to show you the greatness of his love. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I don't have a date and time that I can look back and say, I remember that I accepted Christ into my life. You know, I think this is an apropos message for you because maybe you've had a lot of pain in your life. You know, God's not afraid of it. In fact, he doesn't cause pain. God never gives people sickness. He never causes disease, never causes heartache. But I tell you, he knows how to get involved in it. I know that he knows how to get your attention in it. And today is an awesome opportunity for you to give your life to Christ. If that's you, just slip your hand up nice and high, long enough for me to see you. Then you could put it down. I see a hand in the back. Who else? I see another hand over here. Who else? Who else says, today I want to give my life to Christ? Up in the balcony. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Who else? Thank God. You can look at me now. I want you to know that the source of all pain is sin. There is a devil. He's real. There's a God who's great. And anything that sin has ever done to you will not compare to the great things that God will do in response. It's called redemption. I want every person that raised their hand to quickly and just as soon as you can, leave where you're at and come and stand with me. I want to pray a very simple prayer with you. Give your Bible, and then we're going to dismiss the service after we do the offering today. But if you raise your hand, come quickly. You don't have to come alone. Bring somebody with you. Come and join me. They're coming out of the balcony, coming from the main floor. Come on, let's thank and congratulate all these people who are coming. We can do a whole lot better than that. We're talking about souls. Souls coming to Christ. Come on, brother. That's awesome. That is so awesome. That's awesome. Hey, guys. I'm doing really good. I'm glad you're here today. What's your name? Why do I know you? Josh and Amanda, I'm so sorry. I'm so glad you're here today. God had this planned. You were here last Sunday? I wasn't. I wasn't here. I'm sorry. I apologize. If I'd have known, I'm just teasing. I'm glad you're here. Been a lot of pain, huh? A lot of pain. But it's not disqualifying you from God's best plan for your life. No amount of pain disqualifies you. I think maybe you have felt disqualified, but that's not true. Jesus Christ makes us worthy, no matter what we're going through. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you. If you would, pray it with me. These folks are going to pray with you because it's a family. And today, look, things have just been causing pain. Starting today, the cause of the pain starts going away. and the source of strength is coming into your life. You'll have confidence when you walk out of here. God is for you, not against you. Let's pray this way together, if you would please, church. Let's pray with Josh and Amanda. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. You led me here today. You wanted me to hear this. I'm so grateful. You know everything about my life. And your love for me is so strong. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to bring you into my life and to be a part of your plan. Please forgive me from all my sins. Get them away from me. I invite you into my life. I want to be a brand new person, starting from the inside out. I'm clean. I'm being restored. And to God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray for Josh right now. I thank you for him. Lord, I just sense that, God, whatever's been coming against him has been belittling him. But God, let him to know that you working for him, you're going to strengthen him. I pray for Amanda today. It's nothing too hard. They come in here today one way. But God, if they could only see a week, 2 weeks, 6 months, a year down the road, how much different things are going to be. Amen. Things are going to be different because God makes a difference. We thank God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you that you got them to this point. If, Lord, you've done this much to get them here, how much more will you do to get them where you want them? We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, Amanda.